Good morning and welcome. This is Ian Thompson, the host of the podcast, Your Longest Life, How to Live Your Best Life to 100 and Beyond. And that's a great goal, isn't it? And I'm super excited today to have as my guest, Meg Selig. And Meg is an author. She's a blog writer. She's written a couple of books. Meg, I'm just going to go down them here. The first one was Change Power, 37 Secrets to Habit Change Success. And the latest one is Silver Sparks, Thoughts on Growing Older, Wiser, and Happier. Yay. So that's good news. And Meg joins us from St. Louis. Good morning, Meg.
Good morning, Ian. Thanks for inviting me on your show.
Oh, great. Well, I'm super happy that that you decided to come on here. And we, you know, before we came on, we were talking about the pandemic because everybody talks about the pandemic, don't we? How could that's we not? Right. And then when you're talking about your book, you actually wrote it during the pandemic. So talk about that for a minute.
Right. I had been wanting to write a book for a long time. I didn't think it was a book about healthy aging. My first book that you mentioned was a book about habit change. And right. That was from 2010. And so I thought, well, I'll write a book about, since I wrote a book about how to change behavior habits, I'll write a book about how to change unhealthy thinking habits. But I fell in love with the topic of healthy aging. And as soon as I realized that was the book I wanted to write, I could not be stopped. I just went into my study at a certain time every day. And I wrote this book from a combination of blogs, personal essays, short anecdotes, because I was shocked to learn that getting older was actually a happier time for most people. Mm. That surveys from all over the world showed that older people in general were happier people. Now, I don't want to be a Pollyanna. There are challenges that right. definitely come with aging. But they had been highly exaggerated that many people, in fact, most people feel happier as they get older through the decades of the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even 90s until the very end when obviously disability
yeah.
and death do overtake us. I mean, we are human. But I was so astonished. I kept reading this over and over again to make sure I had really understood it.
Right.
And I did this even though I myself have been happier as the decades have gone by. And I really do think this is my happiest time of life, that I have more opportunities now to do the things I really want to do as an older person. So as we talk, awesome. I'll try to reveal more about what I've learned.
Well, that's one of the reasons I found you online was that the headline of this article was great. Do you have FOGO? Do you have FOGO? I thought, what the heck's FOGO? We got BOGO. We got buy one, get one. Now we got FOGO. It's the fear of getting old. And it's funny. I was sitting here with my assistant a couple of weeks ago and I said, oh, I'm going to interview Meg. We're going to talk about the fear of getting older. She says, oh, that's what I have. And she's 30. And I'm thinking, wow, really? Yeah, yeah. And then this morning, my wife and my son were there, and my wife Carol said, "Geez, I think I have that too. I'm not really sure." And it's obviously people think about it, isn't it?
Yes, and people begin describing themselves as older at such young ages. I can't believe that this 30-year-old thought she was old. And I hope that my work can change that just a little bit, because in fact, 30 is no longer old, and the definition of what is old keeps getting pushed forward.
Right. What is the definition of old? Why don't we stop there for a second? I mean, I used to think it was anybody 20 years older than I am. Is that...
I think
40, 60, 20, 40, you know, is that true?
I have read that many people think that old is 20 years older than what I am right now. Now, I am going to reveal my age here because I think anyone who writes about aging has a moral obligation to reveal their age. And I am 76, about to be 77 in September. And the definition, so I can no longer say that older is 20 years older than I am.
Well, my mom's 95. Who knows? Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
The definitions keep getting pushed forward, as I say. And I have a little place in my book where I talk about that. How old is old?
Yeah.
And right now, people, sociologists are dividing older age into young old, middle old age, and old age. So
okay.
Young old age is age 65 to 74. Middle old age, which is where I am right now, I've entered that portal, 75 to 84. And old age is 85 and above. And sometimes that group is called the oldest old. But if life expectancy gets pushed forward even more, those categories will change. And I would like to note that middle age is usually considered to be ages 45 to 65.
Yeah.
So if you've just turned 40, you are not old. You are not even middle-aged. So tell your friends.
Okay. All right. And maybe it's because I'm thinking the things I haven't done. Is that what brings it on? Geez, I haven't done this yet. I don't know, whatever it is you're planning to, I haven't found the right person to spend my life with, or, and time's not my friend. Maybe what makes people think that way?
Maybe so. Although I think that I think you have to set priorities as you get older. You cannot maybe do absolutely everything on your bucket list, but maybe you can think about what the top three things are. I've also noticed among many of my friends that the super exciting things like traveling to see the ancient temples of Cambodia, you know, traveling does get harder as you get older, even if you don't have any disabilities, but you're sitting for a long time and so on. So maybe, so what the research says is that most older people have learned to appreciate the small pleasures of life, which turn out to be not so small after all, sitting in your garden, gardening, having lunch with a friend, trying a new dish at a new restaurant. All those little things just become so pleasurable, or maybe even doing hometown touring, seeing something different, for example, in your hometown. These little things, so-called little things, can become very important. And in fact, the longest lived people are those in Japan. I'm blanking on the particular area where they live, but
part of the blue zone.
They actually have a word for relishing these small pleasures, and the fact that this is part of their culture, I think, is one of the reasons why they are so long lived. So I would just encourage everyone, yes, think about what is on your bucket list that you really want to do at this point. And also just enjoy and be grateful for the small pleasures that you actually can experience.
I was going to mention some of the research you did. 62%, 4.2 million tweets posted about aging in the last 12 months were negative. So unfortunately, negative is the perception of bad news.
Right.
This is just not going to work out for me, or it's going to get worse, because we tend to talk about things that are negative and play down the positive thing. We're funny people, aren't we? Right?
Yes.
As human beings, we always, look at this calamity. And is that because of, you know, social media? I've got my phone here, and we bring the whole world's problems into us every day. And we think, wow, this is this is a problem. I better be unhappy or something.
Well, psychologists tell us that human beings have a built-in negativity bias, and we had to have that to survive. So if we saw a glimpse of something moving in the bushes, we had to assume it was a saber-toothed tiger and get out of there fast. And this negativity bias has helped us to survive. But now I think we have enough of that to help in our survival. And it's important to cultivate more of a positive mindset. I see you have Think Positive
yes,
behind
do.
You. And I have noticed that you can find the positive people wherever you are. I am on Twitter. That research took place in 2014. And I think things have changed even since then, because now maybe I've just sought out a positive corner of Twitter. I think that can happen. But I'm linked up with many people who are devoted to exposing ageism, for example, and broadcast the positive news about aging. And, you know, of course, no one knows how old you are on Twitter, so
you know, right.
You're covered there. But I think that things are changing, and I hope to be a small part of bringing about that change, because there's so much good news about aging and about being intentional about what you want to do with, really, we have an extra 30 years of life, as one expert, Laura Carstensen from Stanford, has pointed out. You know, what are we going to do with these 30 extra years? We need to think about that. You know, how do you want to spend, you in general, want to spend the extra years that you have? This is such a great problem to have.
It's a gift.
It's a gift. It is definitely a gift.
Okay, let's get into this. You've got like three happy truths about getting older.
Yes.
That sounds good. Number one, it says older people tend to be happier. Talk about that.
Right. Well, I think it's because older people have figured out, I think it has to do with that older and wiser stereotype that actually turns out to be somewhat true. We've learned how to have a good day. We have learned to be grateful that we've had the opportunity to get older. And we have so many options, especially in, I would say, young old age and middle old age. We have so many choices about what kind of retirement we want to have. And I think that that if you cultivate the attitude of gratitude, you do feel happier. It's been well researched that these two things are linked. There is there are many studies. One is the Three Good Things study, where people who have been asked to think about three good things that happened and write those things down at the end of the day, or just think about them and do this for just 1 week, are happier 6 months later. So as you get older and begin to think about the good things and focus on the positive things that happen to you, I think it's partly you become happier because you are more grateful for what is good in your life. And so I think it's partly that you have more choices as you get older. And partly that you are more grateful. And I think that some of the research says that you also have better mental health as you get older. There, you have fewer problems with depression and anxiety, and you have stronger relationships, which itself makes you happier.
Mm-hmm. Now you also said older people tend to be healthier. And my perception is that younger people don't think that way.
I agree. Younger people most definitely do not think that way.
Oh boy,
they think of older people as decrepit. And there are only, to counter that, I would argue that there are only about 1% of older people are in nursing homes. And while I cannot deny that there are more aches and pains and problems as one ages, Laura Carstensen, the researcher I mentioned earlier, has looked at this, and most people who are older feel healthy because they are still able to do the things they want to do, which there again, it's a matter of setting priorities. So, but I was shocked by that too, that older people are healthier people. And in fact, I think the whole narrative that we were taught about getting older is actually the reverse. We are happier as we get older. We are healthier in the ways that matter, maybe not healthier than a young person of 35, but we've been able to maintain our health. So it's really amazing. We really need to retell the story of growing older.
And your article continues on with draft a plan for healthy aging. And of course, the first one is counter physical decline with exercise and healthy lifestyle practices. Can you highlight some of those?
Yeah. First of all, if I think anyone who reads a newspaper or listens to any type of media knows that every day there's some new benefit of exercise. Exercise is just so important for maintaining strength, energy, vigor. I would just argue that exercising in whatever way you can is a must. In fact, my latest blog is about if you're not exercising, making it easier for yourself and not setting the bar too high, just starting out with something. And so I would urge everyone to develop an exercise program and also to do little teeny amounts of exercise when they can't do what they consider to be their regular daily exercise. Take a little stroll. Every little 10 minutes counts. And I would, of course, the healthy eating, getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep seems to be important. Avoiding the things that potentially could cause Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia. Don't smoke, don't drink too much. Don't go out on days when air pollution is high. That seems to be something that older and younger people seem to be particularly susceptible to is unhealthy air.
We're running into that here in British Columbia with our wildfires.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're where you are, but here it's we're pretty lucky here on Vancouver Island, but certainly on the interior.
The wildfires illustrate that we are all linked because the wildfire smoke is actually causing pollution throughout the Midwest of the United States. So I am breathing the pollution from the fires out west. Thank you.
There you go. What else have you got? Another fear, counter the fear of memory loss. So we're thinking, if I'm 63, I'm thinking, geez, I don't want to lose my capacity. And what kind of tips do you have for that? You talk about meditation as an example.
Right. Keeping your blood pressure low, avoiding falls, avoiding some of the things that I mentioned before. Don't smoke, avoid pollution days.
I think dementia is a concern, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I was surprised that more people didn't mention that as a concern in that survey that Pfizer did about fear of aging. Most people seem to be afraid of losing their physical strength. There were only, I think, about 12% were afraid of falling victim to some form of dementia. But so that was a surprise.
Yeah, so, my family and I were talking about that this morning. But when you get, if something happens to you at whatever age here, would you rather be physically challenged or mentally challenged? You don't have a choice, of course, but if you did, which would you pick? And it's kind of a, I don't know, it's a tough one, right?
That is a tough one. And I just want to mention too that we want to avoid hearing loss, because that is apparently also linked to dementia, and it's less well known. But if you can't process what people are saying, you tend to isolate yourself. And of course, that is not good for you either. So
next one you got is counter the fear of running out of money.
Right. And I think that, if you have that fear, then what you need to do is talk to someone now about maybe a career change, they're taking a second job, spending less and saving more, because I have found that as I age, I'm realizing, wait a minute, I'm at the age now, this is what I've saved for. So I like to be able to splurge a little bit on things that really matter, as you know, I just came back from a family visit, and usually I skip over that, hey, do you want to up your status on this airplane by paying an extra whatever? And I decided, well, you know, isn't this what I've saved for? How about a bigger seat on the airplane? How about an aisle seat? So anyway, I think I do not intend to overspend. I simply don't have that in me. But I think, you know, the occasional splurge or solving, it's good to be able to solve some problems with money. When I get to the point where I can't drive again, I'm going to take an Uber or a taxi. So it's good to have a little money for those small pleasures.
At number four, you've got counter fears of loneliness. And boy, the more I read about that, that is just a huge part of aging. And I know in England, they have a minister of loneliness in the government.
Yes, that I have heard that also. Yeah. That is really interesting. I guess that is something we can intentionally plan for too. To me, that seems to be a solvable problem. If you maintain your social connections throughout life, cultivate your friendships, connect often with family. And I have found that those little interactions with strangers boost my mood. And apparently that's true of many of us, that going to the same coffee house every day and having the barista know what you like, is something that can allay loneliness. But I do think that we have to rethink some things about aging rather than isolating people, housing them all together. But even then,
looks like you're frozen there, Meg. Uh-oh, did you freeze up on us?
No.
It looks like you did. Well, Meg, thank you for joining us. Sorry you're frozen up at the end there. I didn't get to say goodbye, but geez, we were right there, weren't we? Well, let's finish off with our quote from your article, Meg. I'll just read it for us here. It says, from former broadcaster Annie Rooney, remember him? He used to be on CBS. It says, I didn't get old on purpose. It just happened. If you're lucky, it could happen to you. So thank you to my guest, Meg Selig. And Meg joined us from St. Louis today. And you can reach out and find her book on Amazon, Silver Sparks, Thoughts on Growing Older, Wiser, and Happier. Okay, thanks for joining us. Have a great day.